Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning. Paul J. and Chris on a election hangover Wednesday. Was interesting last night to see the networks say how wrong they were and try to...
There were some, what do they call those, mea culpas?
Yeah, mea culpas, you know, it's my fault.
Yeah.
But...
Sorry, I just did my job exactly the opposite way I was supposed to.
Well, yeah, and they tried to say, well, it was the rural voters and this and that.
Yeah.
And
well, had you discounted them? Because they live here, too.
Okay, now here's what I'm going to say. And I'm... What am I missing here? Didn't a lot of people say Trump had a chance to win?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were right.
Yeah? So I was kind of shocked. I mean, I thought all the polls were close, and the race was fairly close.
Yeah.
Weren't the polls close? I don't understand why they were all apologizing.
Because most all of the polls actually had Hillary winning by a few points. And as far as they're concerned, until the actual election happens, their polls are 100% perfect. And, you know, and they have like a... what do they say? That we have a margin of error of 1%.
Yeah.
Like she'll either win by 3% or 2%, but we can't get it wrong. No, you can get it wrong. And I think it's different than it used to be. The polls used to be, they would call, you know, randomly like several thousand people in the United States.
Yeah.
Well, now you call people and they don't answer if they don't know your number.
That's very true.
And so what you had is people who answer the phone when they don't know who it is in 2016 telling you that, we'll probably elect Hillary Clinton.
What I got from all the mea culpas was, you know, we're kind of sorry. But we did all of our polling in the cities.
Yeah.
And never called anybody with an RFD.
And besides, we polled ourselves here in the newsroom, and gee whiz, 95% of the people wanted Hillary Clinton.
So it was kind of...
Because sometimes, you know, it's people in the news business have a tendency to talk... mainly with other people in the news business.
Yeah, and so you're correct.
You can get a skewed view of what the rest of the country thinks.
I watched Fox for part of it. I watched CNN for part of it. I kind of liked the way CNN was presenting everything.
Fox didn't seem nearly as surprised as the other people.
No, but then, well, neither did CNN, I didn't think they seemed too surprised either.
Were they just trying to be just as neutral as possible?
Yeah, and then I turned over to NBC.
Yeah.
And they were apologizing all over the place.
I was watching CBS for a while and ABC and PBS and NBC. And yeah, they seemed like they were...
NBC was stupefying because they kept trying to say, how could we have been so wrong? And everybody there seemed to think that Hillary was going to win.
The word that comes to mind is aghast.
Yeah.
They seemed aghast.
Well, they got caught with their pants down, as my mom used to say.
And when they were looking at some of the results coming in, their jaws were hitting the table.
Yeah. And it really was quite entertaining.
Well, and see, now here's the deal. Now you have a whole, of course, you have every Democrat that didn't support Donald Trump, and you have a whole bunch of Republicans who publicly said that they were not going to support Donald Trump. And now he's the president, and they have that on record.
And the guy in the hot seat is Paul Ryan. He's done, right?
Speaker of the House. Well, he's still Speaker of the House.
Well, until Trump gets in there.
Well, and it's the House, though, that elects him. But I don't know. I don't know. You know, this is one of those things where with all the people who were against him that are already elected officials and appointed officials, you wonder how much cooperation he's going to get from them, regardless of the public mandate here.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I thought the whole, because I thought, And we said the last couple of weeks, and even like Rich, even Rich said, Trump could win this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised at the surprise, but if that makes sense.
But like every time there was a revelation about, oh, you know, Trump said this about women, or Trump did that, or Trump did this, they'd say, ah, this has got to be the death knell for his campaign. You know, he's finally gone over the edge. And then the next day it'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and that's true.
Those on the left were still going to vote on the left, and those on the right were still going to vote on the right.
And not a Trump guy, but I wasn't a Clinton guy. My whole take on this thing is, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of thought that if Clinton won, it would be MOS, more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if Trump won,
it'll be MOD, more of the different.
More of the different, yeah. And it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, some people were, this is it. This is a death knell. It's all over. Yeah, whatever.
And nothing ever was.
Yeah, nothing ever was. All right, KBOI News Time is 8:45. Final check of traffic. Do you need to sell your house fast? Turn to Core Group Realty. And get more with CORE. Find him at getmorewithcore.com. Here's Ron.
Surprising results in the presidential election and a full rundown on our local elections. Details coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
Remember, you are listening to Paul Jay and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, defragging the election. Got a lot of callers. Let's go to the phone, Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. That was a late night, and you know, Chuck Todd just kept, or NBC, we were watching on TV, and they just kept putting off and trying to explain things.
Putting off calling it. Yeah.
And it wasn't until, you know, when Podesta came out and made the thing, and then finally about 30 minutes later, we got the announcement that Clinton had called Trump and conceded.
Yeah.
And that was when you could see the media still saying, we're waiting for the vote tallies. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but now this is hump day, or should we say Trump day. It has changed. The pendulum has swung. You know, we've had 8 years of what I would say was an aberration. And I mean, the Democrats in 2008 had both houses of Congress. They had the presidency. And now the people, you know, we're going to read the laws now before we pass them.
Yeah, but you know what? The spotlight is on you guys, and you better not screw up because everybody be jumping down your throats. It's your turn at bat. You better get a hit.
You know what? I think there's going to be less pressure, though, on this particular Congress.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Right.
There's going to be less pressure because instead of change, what they want to do is change a few things back.
Exactly.
True. Set your
clock
back.
Sometimes progress isn't always moving forward.
Yeah, and we've we've always said, you know, just because somebody doesn't pass a bunch of laws doesn't mean they're not doing their job.
Exactly, and that's the point I'm trying to make, is that America is it's a conglomeration of a lot of people, and we've been divided for so long into R's and D's, and Trump is neither an R or a D. He is a good man. I think he's established himself over many years, and I'm proud to say that I supported him from the get-go. I was hesitant because I thought he might have been a plant because he'd had no political experience. Well, when I ran for office, I had none. But, you know, you take decisions and you look at how does a man make a decision. He takes in the facts. He takes in his opposition. He takes in the pro, the con, and he weighs that and analyzes it and makes a decision. That is what makes a good politician. And that's where your compromise comes in, and that's where I think we should be as a nation right now. You know, we've got Democrats that think one way, Republicans that think another, and we have a man in the presidency now, or soon to be, that will analyze both sides. I mean, he's from New York City. He doesn't really represent Idaho, you know, in the big scheme of things.
True.
But I think he will be a good man, and I think that both parties should get behind him and support him.
Yeah, and a lot depends on his actions. And his speech last night showed that he's willing to work with everybody, I thought. And that's a good thing.
Reconciliatory.
Yep.
And, you know, I think there's promise in America today.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
I will say this about the male-female thing. It's a generalization, to be sure. And I have known plenty of females in my life who are very analytical about everything. And I have known males, I have known men who made most of their decisions with emotion, or at least some part of their body that it displayed them.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right, let's take another call before the break. Jim of Boise. Jim, good morning.
Morning, guys. You know, I think it's just hilarious. The coverage was so biased all through this whole election. Even the coverage when Trump was ahead like 45%, or, you know, 45,000 votes, I mean, in one state, they were, one of the networks was saying it's a razor thin lead. Then when it swung the other way, it was like early in, was about 10% in. It went to 30,000 in, you know, for Hillary ahead, and they said a huge lead. You know?
See, I didn't notice that at all.
Oh, there was. I was on websites that were reporting.
Oh, okay. I wasn't online.
Okay. If you watched MSNBC, the guy that does Hardball, Chris Matthews, said Monday. On Monday, he said, this election's already over and Hillary has won it. And that was the day before the voting.
And like that other caller said, they refused to call a state that was obviously won by Trump. You know, they were refusing to, you know, where everyone else was saying pretty much, hey, Trump, you know. And then they, you know, CNN, you know, CNBC, they were just showing their bias so much, and every interview they had was
okay. I'm sorry, we got to cut you off. We're up against a hard break. We'll have more reaction to the election coming up. It's 8:56.
It's 3 minutes past the hour. Here's Rick Worthington on 670 KBOI.
Good morning. We're awaiting Hillary Clinton's concession speech, as you just heard. Looks like that's going to happen fairly soon. Meanwhile, looking to local election results, too many to share, but we have all the results available for you at KBOI.com. Just taking a look at some of the major races last night. First and foremost, the presidential election. Donald Trump did take Idaho as expected. The margin, maybe not as high as some people thought it would be. Trump took 58% of the vote here in Idaho. Hillary Clinton with just 28%. But there were a couple of third-party candidates that grabbed up over 10% of the vote. Evan McMullen had 7%, added up with Gary Johnson's 4% here in Idaho. Senator Mike Crapo, he defeated Jerry Sturgill, 65-28%. Raul Labrador, he'll remain in the United States, representative for District 1 after beating James Piotrowski, 68-32%. And House Joint Resolution 5 passed by a vote of 55-44%. We'll have much more on that story, though. And the rest of Idaho's election results available to you this morning at KBOI.com. Senator Marv Hagedorn is from District 14. He attended the GOP celebration last night at the Riverside Hotel. He says, looking ahead, now with Trump winning the election, there's going to be a lot of work to do to try and bring people together.
Half of America is going to be really happy, and the other half of America is really going to be disgusted. And we're going to have to figure out how to come together after that, because we can't run a country with two different sides. We have to come together to solve some really big problems we face.
He says following a long and divisive campaign, such as the one that we've seen, it's natural for people to be upset and others to be not quite ready to accept the campaign and election results. And, of course, at the Party of Republicans, the highest-ranking Republican in Idaho made an appearance, that being Governor Butch Otter. He discussed his thoughts on the presidential election and was asked if he was surprised.
I'm appreciative. I'm appreciative of the fact that folks have looked at the options and said Trump's the way to go.
Governor Otter says moving forward, he still has plans, though, to pursue the education task force, says he wants a five-year plan for higher education as well. Election day come and gone now. Much more to take a look at where Canyon County is concerned. 670 KBOI's Albina Cazina reports.
Voters in Canyon County came out yesterday to cast their ballot for the next president. Joe Decker with Canyon County says,
as far as our polling locations, we didn't have any issues whatsoever. I think there were some lines at a few of the polling locations, but nothing too bad. And here at the elections office, things, we ran into a few hiccups with our machines earlier in the night, but things are moving smoother now.
He also said the issue of voter fraud that has been brought up during this election wasn't one in Canyon County, and people have nothing to worry about. I'm Albina Cousina, 670 KBOI.
Let's take a look at some real-time numbers for you. Numbers steadying up on Wall Street. The Dow now up 30 points. I'm Rick Worthington, 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, we're back. KBOI News Time, 9:06, day after the election 2016. One of the winners last night in the U.S. U.S. House District 1 race, of course, Raul Labrador, who had 68% of the vote. A resounding win for Raul.
He would have won even if he were a bond.
Yeah, he would have won if he were a bond. And he joins us now by the KBOI.
Hey, Congressman, how are you?
Hotline.
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Say, if you were a bond, you... And yeah. Okay.
I like that. I think I'm gonna. That's going to be my next slogan.
Okay. At least a T-shirt, yeah. How do you... Well, first of all, obviously, you're pleased with the results of your race.
I am very happy with the results of my race. I am so grateful to the people of Idaho. It's a little bit early. It was a late night, and I just couldn't go to sleep last night, so I'm sorry if I sound a little groggy right now.
Well, you can join the rest of us.
Exactly, but it was a really exciting night.
How do you feel about not only the Trump win, which astounded a lot of people, but the majority in the House, majority in the Senate.
You know, this is great. I think we have had a divided government now for 6 years, and I think we as Republicans have done a good job of holding the line, of making sure that we fight some of the things that Obama wants to do. But it's been difficult. It's been difficult because when you have a president of one party and a Congress of another party, we don't always get the things that we want. And I think now we have both an opportunity and a responsibility to do the right things and to keep the promises that we made. Now we don't have some of the excuses that maybe some of my friends in the Republican Party make, that they can't do this or that because the president's from another party.
Is this going now to is this going? Sorry about that, Congressman. Is this going to unite the Republican Party? Then is there going to be a lot more done than has been done the past 8 years?
Well, I hope there's more done now. You know, when we talk about more done, you have to understand that some of the things we have to do is repeal things. You know, a lot of people always want us to just pass new laws. I think we have plenty of laws in the United States. What we need to do is reform some of the things and some of the ways that Washington works to reform the IRS, reform our tax code, reform our immigration system. We have things that we can do and we can get done. And I'm excited about that. It's not about making more and more laws, which is what some of the liberal media always wants us to do. What we need to do is just get the government out of people's way. That's what we as Republicans want. You know, I've heard it said to make the federal government as inconsequential in your lives as possible. And now we really have a strong, real opportunity to do that, and I'm really excited about that.
Are you pleased that both Simpson and Crapo will be back there with you?
Oh, yes. You know, it was going to be easy. They work very, very strongly for their constituents. It was going to be easy for them to win. They had good elections. It's going to be great to have a full team. And I think we need to listen to what the American people said. the American people totally rejected the establishment in Washington, D.C., rejected the establishment in the media, rejected even the establishment in entertainment, rejected everything that people said, all the pundits, everything, and they sent a person who's pretty independent. You know, Donald Trump is a Republican nominee, but he's an independent man, and they sent him there because they're sick and tired of what's happening in Washington. The message, you know, I spent 4 days on the campaign with both Trump and Pence. I was even some time with his son, Don Jr., And the message is pretty clear. They want to drain the swamp. You know, that's a slogan that was pretty catchy and was pretty and people really liked. But that was the message that was sent. They're tired of business as usual, and it was an incredible historic night.
There were some people, congressmen, who said one of the main reasons they were supporting Trump was the appointment of the Supreme Court justice. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. That's the number one reason. I disagreed with Trump on some of the things he said, even some of his policies. But I had a meeting with him a couple of months ago, and we talked about the Supreme Court, and I explained to him how important that list was. And I felt pretty confident after that conversation that he was going to stick to that list. And that's why I came out so strongly for him and worked so hard to make sure that he got elected. Because that's the most significant thing that will happen to us, not just for the next 4 years. It's for the next 40 years of our life. It's a whole generation will be impacted by the Supreme Court. A whole generation of people, my family, my kids, and their kids and their kids are going to be impacted by this Supreme Court decision. Right now we're in the balance. We're a 4-4 court. Donald Trump's going to get to choose the next Supreme Court justice. That means that we will go back to having a 5-4 majority in the Supreme Court. And I believe that at least one or two more people will be stepping down in the next 4 years. So it is so significant. That was, to me, the most important thing that the next president was going to do. And I'm just thrilled that we're going to have our side picking the Supreme Court.
Congressman, is there anything that happened last night nationwide that has been a surprise?
You know, I got to tell you, I wasn't going to be surprised by any result. This was an exciting time. I was almost giddy yesterday because I just couldn't wait for the election results, because I wouldn't be surprised by anything. I spent some time campaigning with Trump and some of the rest of the team. And I remember, and I came back really excited because I felt that we could win. 4 years ago, I did the same thing, and I campaigned with the Romney team. And when I came home, I was kind of demoralized. I told my wife, there's no way we can win. We're going to lose Florida. We're going to lose some of these big states because people are not excited. I saw totally the opposite. But I still, you know, obviously I couldn't know what was going to happen. So yesterday I was just excited all day long. And so I'm surprised. I'm not surprised by the victory. I am surprised by the margin and the states that he has won. And I'm just shocked how wrong the media has been. I mean, the media, the pundits, they were completely off. And I think it's time for people to stop listening to these political prognosticators. They were proven wrong, and I think they should be ashamed of themselves and the things that they were trying to do.
How is the strength of the Freedom Caucus?
I think it's strong. I think we have a great relationship with the president-elect. I think, you know, I've been told by him and by the team how grateful they are for the work that I did, for the work that other members of the Freedom Caucus did. And they know we have some differences, and I think that's healthy. That's really good. So I think we're stronger than ever. We have most of our members reelected, and some new people that are going to be joining the Freedom Caucus. So we are excited about the next few years.
First order of business for you with your new president and the majority in the House and Senate. What's the first order for a Republican congressman from Idaho?
Well, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. We're going to hopefully get to working on reforming the tax code. And we have to work on immigration reform. And, I mean, there's so much to do. And I think we're excited for the next 2 years.
Congressman, thanks for joining us again. Congratulations on your easy victory last night. And good luck.
Thank you so much, and so grateful to all your listeners who voted and who have supported me in the past. This is a tremendous honor.
All right, thank you. First District Congressman Raul Labrador, KBOI News Time 916.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
921 KBOI rewards code Victor, V-I-C-T-O-R, Victor.
To whom go the spoils?
Yeah, let's go to David, who has a question who I think you know the answer to. Let me get you. David, good morning.
Hey, yes, great show. I love that segment with Labrador.
Thank you.
Okay, so HJR-5 is a constitutional amendment. If it were a United States Constitution, it would have had to have two-thirds of majority vote.
Right.
It only got 56%. I don't know Idaho's Constitution.
I believe it passed. That means it passed in Idaho, I believe.
So it only takes a simple majority to pass a constitutional amendment?
Apparently. Yeah, this is kind of a new one on me. But and this was a weird resolution as far as I was concerned anyway, because it's going to be a law no matter what. It already is a law. And this just meant that you put it into the Constitution, so it makes it that much more difficult to ever repeal it if you want to someday.
Right, protects it from the courts.
Yeah.
All right, well, cool.
So apparently it passed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it passed by a majority, but like I was saying, I don't know what the Constitution is. That, you know, if it were the United States Constitution, it'd have to have a two-thirds majority.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you.
Jeff in Meridian wrote in to ask this question. He says, I know Chris will know the answer to this, but can't Trump still lose the election somehow? I just don't see him being sworn in January. As a matter of fact, the Electoral College, they're not 100% obligated to vote the way their state did. They can still cast their own vote. Normally, they don't. But then again, normally hasn't been a word we've used a lot the past year.
Yeah, true. That would really be the be-all and end-all. Let's go to Bob of Nampa. Bob, good morning.
Morning, guys. A couple of things. One, where does a judge get the authority to extend voting hours? I guess that happened in 5 precincts there in Boise. You know, our law says 8 to 8.
Was it Boise or Caldwell? Boise?
I think it was Boise.
Yeah, it was. Okay, you're right.
Yeah, and I'm just curious where they get the authority to do that. It seems kind of arbitrary.
Yeah, and apparently they were new precincts and people didn't know where they were, how to get there, and they went to the wrong places. But as far as do they have that right, they apparently thought they did anyway.
Well, there's a lot of things been done by the courts that they thought they did here recently. You know, I assume there's a procedure. If you move a polling place, there has to be notification or publishing or whatever it is. And I just wonder how that came about. And then I guess one of the major concerns I have is what Mr. Obama is going to try to do between now and Inauguration Day. I don't think we've seen anything yet as far as the presidential proclamation. So
all he's done so far is he called Trump and congratulated him. It was just the normal. I mean, I don't think he's made a speech of any kind.
No, he means trying to get stuff through.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, as far as presidential orders and what have you, I look for a flood of that stuff before he's out of office.
The most interesting are always the last couple of weeks when they start pardoning their friends.
Yeah.
Well, and that's true. But, again, I think he's holding off till after the election.
Yeah. I don't look for anything. I guess I'm the opposite of you. I don't look for any big surge, but probably not out of the question.
I guess we'll see. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks.
Well, this would be the time. Now, we've had listeners, callers, for several years that have been predicting what would happen in the last years or the last few months or even weeks of the Obama administration, and they assumed it was going to be fairly radical. And so, well, we'll figure out. We've got about 2.5 months to, 78 days?
78 days.
It's anyway. in about the third week of January, between now and then, we'll just figure out what he tries to do. So,
if anything.
Yeah.
KBOI News Time is 9:25. Do you have one instant message? We've got about 45
seconds. Very quickly
here.
William of Garden City says this election is what the current administration has been trying to not allow since 2010 midterm election. The IRS scandal, the redistricting of conservative areas, along with all of the cover-ups and lies. They tried with all of their power to minimize the Tea Party and block out their voice. And last night, that voice was heard loud and clear that we are all still here and you need to listen to us.
So, in other words, the Democrats played politics.
And lost.
And lost.
Yeah.
Which is politics.
Yeah.
Don't always win in politics. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
KBOI News Time is 9:30. Good morning. I'm Rick Worthington. Well, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, just made a statement. I'm going to give you an opportunity to hear just a short portion of that.
We talked about the work ahead of us and the importance of bringing this country together. Let me just say, this is the most incredible political feat I have seen in my lifetime. This is something you've heard me say time and again. 7 out of 10 Americans, they do not like the direction our country is going. Many of our fellow citizens feel alienated and have lost faith in our core institutions. They don't feel heard. And they don't feel represented by those in office. But Donald Trump heard a voice out in this country that no one else heard. He connected in ways with people no one else did. He turned politics on its head. And now Donald Trump will lead a unified Republican government. And we will work hand in hand on a positive agenda to tackle this country's big challenges. I want to congratulate my friend Mike Pence. Mike Pence is a good man, a principled conservative, and he will make a great vice president.
Once again, Paul Ryan speaking there. Hillary Clinton is set to give her concession speech in front of a packed house just a few minutes from now. Then President Obama is set to speak from the White House in just a few minutes following her speech. So a lot happening this hour. Meanwhile, there are a lot of results to share with you from local races. Let's share a few of them with you. We'll start with Idaho's new Supreme Court Justice, who will succeed Jim Jones. That'll be Robin Brody. She defeated Kurt McKenzie in the election, 54-45%. U.S. Representative Mike Simpson has also won Idaho's second congressional district once again. He defeated the challenger, Jennifer Martinez Handley, 63-29%. Some other local races to share with you. The Meridian Library Bond got 59% to 41% of the vote, not enough for the supermajority that was needed. The Ward Bond got 50.9% of the vote in favor of. Once again, not enough for the supermajority needed there. There's a lot of results to share with you this morning. They're all online and available for you right now at KBOI.com. Meanwhile, we spoke last night with Lane Bangador. He's with the Trump campaign, who was in New York. He was a guest here during our campaign coverage last night. He says Trump was successful for a lot of reasons.
Look at the huge turnout. Look at the populist draw that Donald Trump has. We've never seen voting like this. So it's the voice of the people rising up in the face of the Democratic apparatus, the media apparatus, and some dissension from within to take our government back. And that's what you're seeing. This great leader in Donald Trump going to help change things in Washington, D.C.
And he says the goal now is to move forward and work with others in Washington to try and bring people together. One of the other results from last night had Mike Crapo taking home another victory.
The last few months have been very tumultuous, and this particular election seemed to be especially intense. Senator Mike Crapo talks about what Americans might see in the next 4 years.
They want a new direction in this country. They want to pull back to what the Constitution envisioned. Limited government, controlling our national debt, stopping the stranglehold of the government over our economy, and protecting individual rights more strongly, and actually, frankly, protecting that society in which individuals can build their own American dream.
He also said that he thinks we will see the remnants of this bitter campaign, but he hopes there won't be the gridlock and that solutions will be built for the majority of Americans. I'm Albina Cusina, 670 KBOI.
Quick look at real-time numbers. The Dow Jones Industrials up 142 points now. I'm Rick Worthington, 670 KBOI.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right. Post-election Wednesday.
Ada County.
Yeah, let's go with David. He's been on here forever. David, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Well, good morning. I had a couple of questions and then a little short comment.
Okay.
Usually on the program, we get to listen to about three liberal socialists that call in, and I got to the radio late today, and I was wondering if they'd called in at all, especially the one who always uses Sally's old line that, I know for a fact. but now that we have no scheduled coronation of St. Hillary, there's a lot of us Republican voters who were convinced that a coronation was a sure thing. So the question of the day is, which restaurants have crow soup for the soup of the day?
Now, the question of the day, and we've got a bet going here, is what color pantsuit Hillary's going to wear to her concession speech. I've got black.
Tim Kaine is talking right now, yeah. And he's wearing a black jacket, but that's not unusual for him.
So I've got black. Chris has.
I said blue, you know, because blue is the color of sad.
And then Todd with 1D says.
I'll go red.
Red. Okay. How about you, David? What color pantsuit you going to wear? We'll get you in on a bet.
This is vital stuff, David.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see here. Normally she liked white because she was virgin queen.
Okay, so you're going with white.
So we've guessed red, white, blue, and black.
Red, white, and blue, I like it. And black.
That'd be funny if it were black and blue.
So, okay, I'm sorry. We interrupted you, David. Go ahead.
No, a lot of people, including a lot of Republicans, are just eating crow today. So the big question was, where are they serving that? Which restaurant?
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing for me last night. I was shocked that everybody was shocked because I thought Trump had a real puncher's chance going into last night. And, I know most of our callers are conservatives. So, we hear the Trump side of things. But I thought that the polls, didn't the polls have it close? I thought they did.
Some did. Some
had Trump ahead.
They were kind of all over the place. And a lot of the polls or the people who took them, I think, are having to explain themselves today.
Yeah. So
how did you get that she had 58% of the vote or whatever?
Yeah. So there's a lot of, as David said, crow being eaten.
Yeah.
David, thanks for your call.
Yeah.
We have open lines, 336-3700, if you have a comment or a question night.
We were talking about, in Canyon County that some polling places stayed open. It happened in Ada County as well. And Kate McGuire just sent this out from Ada County. She says a federal district judge ordered the Ada County Elections Office to extend voting times at five different polling places until 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. All voters are encouraged to look up their polling location, et cetera, et cetera. And so it was Collister Community Church, BSU Alumni and Friends Center, Ada County Indigent Services Office, Our Lady of the Rosary Church, and the Hidden Springs Community Clubhouse. Each one of those places was changed from another place that basically is right down the street. Yeah. Like they moved it to Collister Community Church from Collister United Methodist. And like the BSU Alumni and Friends Center, they moved it from the Euclid Community Church of the Nazarene, which is right over there by Boise State. That's where Euclid is. And let's see what else. Those who went to the Hidden Springs Community Clubhouse used to go to Hidden Springs Fire Department,
yeah,
which is, walkable.
In Hidden Springs.
All
right, breaking news here. We all lost. She's wearing a gray pantsuit with purple lapels.
Kind of charcoal.
At least the wagers were low.
Yeah, it was true. We didn't actually bet anything.
But, isn't gray a shade of black?
Yeah.
So I win.
Gray is like light black.
Yeah.
And both, Todd had purple and I had blue and she's got purple. I mean, Todd had red and pink. I had blue and she's got purple. So
that's
a combination of red and purple.
Okay. Whatever. Anyway, we all lost.
Okay.
So, let's go back to the line. We got a ton of people, including one of them liberals David was talking about. Luther, good morning.
Yeah, you know, when I was quoting statistics the other day, I was using a website that was weighted towards Trump. And, you know, and they were still all over the place. And, you know, the question is, I wonder how many wars we'll be in. You know, and I don't think that he's going to serve a full term. I think the nation will go, too much arsenic in the soup. Let's go get them, Broncos.
All right. Thanks, Luther.
Patrick of Caldwell had already said, put me down for pink on the pantsuit.
Yeah.
And
miss.
Again, she's got the mourning colors of, the United States and at least one.
I thought she'd be in black for mourning, but she's in gray for morning before noon,
and,
I guess.
Bill of Boise said, well, you know, the morning is always before noon. But Bill of Boise says, I wonder how long it will be before Obama and Clinton are in prison. You know, the fact that they're not going to be in the White House is probably enough for a lot of people.
Why would Obama be in prison?
I don't know, crimes against humanity, something like that.
Let's go to Matt of Caldwell. Matt.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I stayed up last night until about 2:30 in the morning watching the elections, and I was actually kind of on pins and needles about Michigan and Wisconsin to see if they were actually going to vote for Trump, and they turned out to turn the election for him.
For somebody who stayed up all night, you sound pretty chipper.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I had to go to work first thing this morning for transit system, so, you know, got to make sure the country's going in the right direction.
All right.
See, we were all, I don't want to say we were idiots last night, but like for instance, I get up at 3:30 every morning, and last night I went to bed at 12:15 because I didn't even realize it was midnight. I was still just sitting there watching all the...
Same thing happened to me.
Well, fun, actually.
My wife and I went out and we got back home, and I thought it was like 8 o'clock because it was, you know, dark forever.
That's true.
It was like 6:30.
Oh, and also since Sunday, we've been completely confused about the time.
Anyway. Yeah, and then all of a sudden it was 10:30, and I'm going, what? All right, Matt, congratulations. Have a good day.
Oh, Kent of Boise has an interesting comment. The last time the Senate, House, and presidency was held by the Republicans was 1928. What happened next? That would be the Great Depression.
I love stats, man. Stats are my life. Let's go to Rob. Rob, good morning.
Hey, my brothers. How are we today? Great day in the neighborhood. first of all, can I be one of the first ones to say, and I know Rich is out there. Can you say, Rich, President Trump? Yes. Oh, and hey, did you hear that? You remember a few months ago, our little Richie Poo called in and said, I'm a leader for Canada. There's his dollar. I'm contributing to Rich, Mark, far-left-wing extremist, radical village idiot, little left-wing kook, Rich, who always calls in. Yeah.
Let me say one thing about Rich. 10 days ago, Rich said Trump could win.
Oh, I know. As he was out there smoking pot with his buddies out there in Oregon, you remember that? He took a little sabbatical. He was like, him and Luther out there.
Technically, he only admitted to harvesting.
Yes. And one last thing, to Obama and Hillary, you're fired.
Right.
And the last one, have you seen in my, God bless him, a brother from my other mother, another mother, Uncle Ted, that's right, the Motor City Madman. Remember he said, hey, here, I got your blue state right here. Well, that's what I give to all the left-wing liberals. And I know you've come around, God bless you, always the awesome voice of the Broncos, you know, Paul Jay. Sometimes I've had a few, and I call in, you know, like, everybody's like, what's going on, take him out? I'm like, dude, he's a great guy. I've actually met him, you know, you're a cool cat. But, you know, I mean, we have our differences. You used to be, you were a little bit worse than you are now. But, man, you're a good, you know, Democrat. Hey, I you know, like Charlie Wilson, God bless him, may rest in peace. He was a genius Democrat.
No. Saw Charlie Saturday night.
He's alive.
He's very much alive.
I know, right?
Now, we don't know that he's not resting peacefully right now, but he is alive.
But he is alive.
Well, yeah, Charlie Wilson was a genius. You know, hey, he was one of the trifecta that saved the planet from the evil empire. That was Ronald Reagan, the Iron Lady, God bless her, Maggie Thatcher, and Charlie Wilson. And I mean, everybody's like, oh, you're a conservative, you'll never do it. When they're smart Democrats, hey, I give them all their kudos. I am all about technology and brains. If you're on the same path as I am, or you at least have a brain and intelligent argument, hey, I'll give you all your kudos and say, dude, you know, hey, we can go have a beer, we can get along. But if you're a far-left-wing extremist radical hammerhead kook, which I'm the ironclad, axe-wielding barbarian warrior on my side of the political aisle, so if you want to come lock horns with me, you know how it always is. I mean, I can just jam away at people for hours. I mean, like the Clintons, there are people, what? I'm like, yeah, how many people you know have died? Do you not remember Vince Foster in Fort Marcy Park, 1993? People are like, who?
All right, we got to cut you off because we're 2 minutes past a break. Thanks, Rob. I hope I never lose a bet to you.
We got now we got Grease Man, Man Cow, and Rob. All right.
Yeah, and he was talking about the other Charlie Wilson. So
I figured that out.
At the same time, I did.
You're right. He is dead.
KBOI News Time 9:47.
Surprising results in the presidential election and a full rundown on our local elections. Details coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
Thanks, Rick Worthington. It's 9:52. Let's go to the phones. Blake of Caldwell. Blake, good morning.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I got to tell you, last night was a real blessing. We now don't have to call Air Force One Broomstick One.
Stop it.
And
because it was a clean sweep.
The Rose Garden will be something other than a watermelon patch, and I don't have to run my flag at half-mast today.
Okay.
All right. With that, you're gone.
Okay.
That's not good.
Yeah, not the...
Let's not get too racist and prove the Democrats right,
Not the patch part. Okay, Bill of Boise says, I thought they both have charges pending against them, like your instant message referred to. Maybe I am wrong. Well, no, to be fair...
Obama doesn't have charges against him, does he?
Maybe.
Who's he talking about?
I'm not sure, but I was going to say Trump actually has 75 different lawsuits against him right now. But, you know, just because you file suit doesn't mean you're going to win.
Yeah. A lot of times you're testing the water.
But, you know, it's like people were saying yesterday, the biggest thing he's got hanging over his head is, of course, his hair.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in the months and years ahead.
HGM McCall says, thanks to you two for keeping your equilibrium during the last year. Today you probably have an easier job than disc jockeys in some other states. Good job.
Yeah.
Most people who are listening are, I think, probably happy about the results.
Yeah. Well, as we heard.
Let's see. Rob of Nampa says she shouldn't worry about what color pantsuit she's going to wear. She should be worried about what color jumpsuit she's going to wear. Ha, ha, ha. Maybe black and white stripes.
It would have been if somebody had guessed orange.
Yeah.
That's all.
Orange is the new black.
Yeah.
Patrick of Caldwell says, hey, guys, don't worry too much about executive orders. Anything Obama does by executive order can be undone on day one by President Trump if he chooses to do so.
Do you expect Obama to do a bunch of stuff in the next 70 days?
No, but on the other hand, I don't know. He could. Jeremy of Marsing says, even if you don't like Trump, you have to admit voter turnout was up and obviously pro-Trump. He did what he had to do, and he did it well. Rich is probably dressed in all black today.
You know,
we didn't have a contest to figure out what he was going to wear.
NBC really hung their hat on the rural vote.
Yeah.
Do you think it was a rural vote that did it?
Well, if you look at the red states, most of them are through the middle of America. And, you know, the Northeast is blue and the West Coast is blue.
And I guess, okay, so, all right, let me.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I guess I agree with that because, you know, did you watch CNN at all?
Mostly networks last night.
Yeah, CNN went into these maps, and the cities were blue, and the whole rest of the state was red.
Kind of like Idaho.
Yeah, like Boise would be blue.
Yeah.
Maybe Coeur d'Alene would be blue.
And Blaine County.
And Sun Valley and the rest of it would be red. And so I guess that's right. You won, rural guys, and we're a rural state, right?
Definitely.
All right. Now we get to see what happens. Something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org. See you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Can I just say, holy mackerel?
a close race. And I'm not going to rehash the election results or the ups and downs of the election, but I am going to celebrate someone very important, the average American taxpayer. As I am one, I think we should all take a bow. Their work ethic, their values, their concerns for the future of our country, they mattered too. Hollywood and New York, well, they're nice and all, but the rest of America counts too. The fact that so many people showed up and said, enough, should register with those political insiders in Washington, D.C., and the media as well. The people who grow the food we eat, the people who still build things in this country, the people who support local charities, the people who worry about what kind of America their kids will inherit. They matter too. Average America is more than a line for a political speechwriter. We are what makes America great. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.